My name is Don Lockhart. This is Sacramento LAFCO. This is Peter Brundage, Sacramento LAFCO. Our environmental consultants, Michael Brown and Associates, Trevor and Chris Meyer, will be handling the second portion of the agenda. We also have in the audience, we have one of our commissioners, Commissioner Chris Tooker, I believe a native son of Elk Grove. Trying to get a feel for if these people are coming in here going to other functions, rather than start, restart. A little by way of housekeeping, I think it's important to respect the time of everyone here this evening and to understand what's available for the opportunities tonight and what's really not on the agenda. It's important. Our commission receives testimony. We meet the first Wednesday of every month. Recess is in January and July. We meet at 5:30 p.m. downtown, the County Board Supervisors Chambers. We've heard at several of those meetings that there are folks in the community that would really appreciate the opportunity for us to come, myself and Peter, to come down and take the temperature of the community. It's not always convenient for folks to get downtown at 5:30 on a Wednesday. We recognize that. So we're here tonight to give you, as I say, a little overview of what LAFCO is, and many folks don't have a feel for that. And then we're going to give you a little feel for the CEQA process and what the recirculated draft EIR is, and then we want to hear from you. This isn't going to be a discussion on the merits of the project. It's not going to be a give and take on the recirculated draft EIR. And that's why it's really important that we want to get your comments in writing so that we can have those going forward. Okay, so it's very, if you can put it in writing, if you're comfortable doing so, that'd be very helpful to the process as well. I'd also like to introduce our legal counsel, Matt McComber, and also another commissioner has arrived, Mike Singleton, in the back there, representing the city members, city of Belton in particular. The PowerPoint's available. I'm just going to go through it real quickly here. We're going to talk about the sphere of influence, what a sphere is, a little bit about what LAFCOs are, and then we'll talk about that a little bit and let you know who are the decision makers. LAFCO is an independent agency. It's not part of the counties. It's not part of the cities. It's not part of special districts. Its membership was made up of two supervisors from the County Board of Supervisors, two members representing the cities in Sacramento County, two members representing the special districts, and all of them together appoint a public member to represent the interests of the public. The idea of a sphere of influence, it's a policy. It's not a change in land use. And sometimes I think it's understandable people may assume that something radically different is going to happen if a sphere is approved immediately. The idea is that it is to enable a city, in this case, or special districts, to do a little bit of long-range planning where and how they may want to see growth over the next 20 years, perhaps, maybe in 5, 10, 15-year increments. Cities can plan beyond their boundaries with their general plans. It doesn't have to be within the sphere of influence for that to go forward. In this case, the City Council for Elk Grove wants a comfort level of having a sphere boundary so that they can put their resources into the long-range planning. And so I think it's important that it's understood that the land uses that you see out there in the sphere boundary, which is immediately south of the city of Elk Grove, would not be changed as a result of the sphere of influence action, whether it be approved or denied. On that note, the powers of the commission are they may review the project and approve the project. They may deny the project. They may approve a modified boundary of the project. Actions by the commission are final. There's not an appeal process. The issues we are looking at, I'm putting this up here for you to read. If you let me know if anybody wants to talk a little bit more about them. We look at things from the local level, the countywide level, the regional level, as far as transportation, air quality, services that may or may not be in place or may be in the planning stages. Issues as far as jobs, housing balance, and affordable housing. In doing this, we're going forward with our analysis in three prongs. There's a CEQA analysis, there's a services analysis called a municipal services review, and then there's a staff analysis where we take into consideration the input of the community, the input of other stakeholders, and state and local policies. After that comes the recommendation. So those are the three pieces that will be presented to the commission. Our schedule right now is for the commission, this process to be going for the analysis through the summertime, the comment period for the recirculated draft EIR closes on May 21st at 4 p.m. So if you want to get your comments in, tonight's a good night. We also have a meeting before our commission next Wednesday, May 1st at 5:30 p.m. You're welcome to attend that to give verbal or written testimony. You're also welcome to send emails. My cards are on the table over there. Send emails, send U.S. Mail. The kind of fact that we're looking at is what is the nature of the land use, and what is the nature of what's called absorption? How quickly are lands being used? Are they being changed from open vacant use or residential use into more commercial use or fixed use or higher density residential use, single family residential versus a previous apartment farm? But I'm sure that anybody who's been in El Cro for a period of time, so a change in the dynamics of the land use. One more thing, we recognize another commissioner, Rob Ryan Greenwood, who's also here, represents special districts. Are you having difficulty hearing me? Okay, thank you for that. The good news is that we have a good turnout. We don't have a microphone. We don't have a microphone now. So let me walk up a little bit. Thank you. Among the other issues that we want to talk about, we want to consider our community identity issues. Meetings like this are very helpful in informing the process of what is important to the community, what is the identity as a community see themselves. Part of the process is the city and the county of Elk Grove meet and confer. It's required that the two bodies come together and discuss issues such as boundaries, development centers, and zoning. They may not come to an agreement. If they don't come to an agreement, we just note that they did meet and go forward. If they do come to an agreement, the commission is obliged to do what's called great weights at any points that come out of that. The city and county did meet. They did meet to defer. No agreement came out of that in a written form of a memorandum of understanding. However, the original proposal was about 10,000 acres, including touching upon the community of Wilton. As a result of the meeting confer process, the boundary was modified by the city of Elk Grove and moved back from that portion of the floodplain and brought down to about, right now it's looking at about 1,700 acres. As I say, we're doing the analysis, we're going through the process, we want to hear from members of the community, we want to hear from members of in the development industry, we want to hear from members of the farming communities, we want to hear from service providers such as our host this evening, the Consumers Community Services. This area, the entire city, as well as the area that's within the sphere of influence, proposed area, is all already within the service boundaries of the CSD for fire and parks, so it could have implications of how they might have to expand their services. That's just one example. So, as we discussed, the recirculated draft EIR is out on the streets. It's identified as a recirculated draft because we previously prepared a draft environmental impact report. That was circulated, I think, in 2011. As a result of, we got quite a few comments from members of the public, from agencies and others, and to make it clear to the community what's in this document, we thought it was better to recirculate the document as a whole so that people didn't have to, if you were not in tech, and try to find what's different between this document and the other document. Both documents are available on our website. Some folks, there seems to be some confusion on that. Both documents, the draft EIR is on the website, so it's always been there. You're welcome to go page by page and be fair with what you'd like. more contemporary. The recirculating draft EIR is where the focus of your efforts should be right now. That is on our website. We do want to hear from you by the 21st. We do want to hear from you this evening. We do want to hear from you next Wednesday with the commission. The MSR is out for public review. We've sent it out twice before, and this is just one more time to let folks know things are moving ahead.
What's an MSR?
The MSR is what we're doing is three-pronged. We're doing the CEQA, which is a draft environmental impact report. We're looking at services, municipal services. What is the capacity of sewer plants, for example? What is the capacity of water providers? What is the service capacity? How big are the pipes and the half pipes? Can they afford the service area? So the municipal service review is an MSR. It looks at availability of services, cost of services, and how that might be financed. So that's a third, if you will, third leg of the stool. That's staff analysis, EIR, MSR.
Who's doing the MSR?
Well, we're doing that. Lack of staff is doing that.
And when will it be available for public review?
As I say, it's on the website now. It's been available for some time. And the current iteration is going to get out this week for people's feedback. We want to make sure that people see that we've been listening, we've heard some of your comments, and the document's going to be revised accordingly. We've gotten the comments back from the service providers and members of the public, so that is available. And the website is www.seclafco.org. On the right-hand side, there's a What's New box, so you don't have to hunt around for things. It's right on the homepage. There's a bullet there for the Elk Grove application, and these things are all there. There's certainly a draft, a map of the project area, the MSR. So the idea here is to keep all these ideas out in front so we can hear from folks and move things forward.
What's the third item?
The third item will be what's called the Executive Officer Staff Report. What would be helpful, let me wrap this up, and then we can open that up so we can have kind of state of the time agenda. We have this room until 7:30. The staff report, which is called the executive officer report, will be the third leg. That would have the analysis of policies and related issues that we touched upon, as well as staff recommendations. And I just want to make it clear that a lot of folks make a leap from what they hear the term sphere of influence to what's called an annexation. And it's very important to understand those are very completely different separate processes. But a sphere of influence needs to be in place prior to a city being able to make an application for a sphere of influence, or excuse me, an annexation. However, there isn't a time frame that demands performance within the sphere of influence. So once lands are within a city sphere, the city, the timing of the annexation could be 5 years, could be 20 years, could be 25 years. There's not a time frame by way of example, there's lands within the city of Sacramento's sphere of influence that have been in the sphere of influence since 1985. They're not annexed yet. There's other reasons, lots of things in play, but I think it's really important that you understand the project we're here for this evening is a sphere of influence application. We're here to get your feedback on the sequence, the environmental analysis of that sphere of influence, and understand while there's some that want to make a real annexation, that's we're not going to serve any discussion this evening. So these are some things the sphere can provide as far as reduce a little bit of pressure on lands that are within the city by having a little bit of a relief valve, knowing that there's other territory that possibly could develop. This is a map of the area of the application. It's probably well done. This will be touched upon again also the city limits is right here at Catherine, goes down Messenger, left of the railroad tracks over here, and then the Dry Creek alignment, grand line owners over here. So, again, I want to be respectful of folks' time, and happy to answer any questions you have on what we just discussed. Yes?
Is the area east of 99 and south of Grantline, is that included in this application, or I thought that was dropped.
This heavy red line.
Yeah.
This is Highway 99.
Mm-hmm, right.
This would be east of 99. This
right.
Area, and this is Grantline Road.
Right.
So these ranch lands, the upper lands, the upper ones that you run and the low lands, they are still within the application area. The area that was part of the original application went a little bit further south and down And that was about 2,000 acres that was taken out as a result of the revised application.
That's
Yeah,
because
it got moved back
from the
floodplain.
Well, we'll have an updated one. That's where we have the experts here.
Well, I understand it was over 7,000 acres that they want to put in a sphere of influence.
That's
sort of proposed,
yes.
And there's about, it's all agriculture except for about 217 acres. If you point out on that map where those 217 acres are,
I'd rather avoid using the map that's inaccurate.
Okay.
So maybe when we get to the map that's on the other presentation, we'll clearly break down here. Actually, the document itself, the environmental regret, that's available on the website. There's also a hard copy back there that you can ask. It has a map that spells out not only where the agricultural presentation and agricultural production is, but it breaks it out by crop, type of crop, and that's what it's on.
Yes.
That's in the environmental impact report. It's also on our website in the environmental impact report.
Can we get people's names before, and so that we can kind of help?
I apologize. That would be helpful for us to keep track of this.
Is this an open meeting, subject to Brian?
No, this is a workshop.
Then you don't need names.
Oh, okay.
Unless people volunteer for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a workshop, and if you're willing to participate and giving us your name and contact information, makes our job easier. If you don't want to do that, that's fine too.
Even if it wasn't on TV.
My question is about the process earlier. Why is it that the city can go and ask for the SOI without completely refusing to ever try and justify to the public why it's doing that? I mean, you're having a meeting that the city has refused to have with the public, and I don't understand why it's possible that the government can go and do this, without having any accountability to the people, but can kind of go around this, and enter this process. Some of us have no position on this, so we have no idea whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. We would just like to have the discussion. Why is it not part of, why is it not mandatory that the local government discuss it, an open meeting with its own people before it actually, goes to have an approval by LAFCO?
If you have issues with your city council, please, by all means, address your city council.
We've done that already.
At the outset, LAFCO, we're an independent third party. We take the idea, a landowner, anybody can initiate a sphere of influence. A landowner can do it, a city government can do it, a special district can do it. They've initiated this action. We're going through a process, and part of that process is getting feedback from the community. So if you have that frustration, I hear you. Yes.
You mentioned that two current city council members in Elk Grove are on the LAFCO board. Can you please tell everyone who those two people are?
Okay, let me clarify. The commission is made up of seven members. Two members represent the cities. There's seven cities in Sacramento County. One seat is dedicated to the city of Sacramento. The other seat is split amongst the cities of Island Golf, Elk Grove, Citrus Heights, Folsom, and Rancho Cordova. Those six cities choose amongst themselves their representation in two-year cycles. Right now, Mike Singleton, City of Galt, is the primary and the alternate is from the City of Citrus Heights.
There's no one from Elk Grove on the current board?
On the commission.
On the commission.
It's a rotation it's a two-year rotation on the last seat. Yes.
So how many voters? Six voters?
Seven commissioners, each carries a vote. It takes four votes to carry an issue.
And in 2009, did you have listening sessions at
the board? That was conducted by the City of Elk Grove, separate and distinct from LAFCO.
So did that information go to the commissioners?
It's been provided, yes. Anything that the city provided in support of their application has been shared with the commission.
Everybody knows one. I just wanted to know about the habitat conservation plan, the water rights and water stuff issues. In your presentation, presentation to talk about a lot of different things.
Sure.
And it seems to me that, you know, the sphere of influence is focused mostly on real estate, but what about resources?
I don't want to take folks' time. We're scheduled to get into the discussion right about now. What I would suggest is those kind of issues are going to be fleshed out in the municipal services review, as well as the staff report discussing service availability, cost, time, and the general. One of the things in the case of the city of Elk Grove, it has land use authority, law enforcement, but many of its other services, such as sanitary sewer, water, parks, fire, are provided by other entities. So we're working with those other service providers to provide input to the municipal service review to frame those issues.
Well, then how much time are we going to have to address those issues before the 21st of May?
We meet every Wednesday.
For the public to be able to have a report, and then is there a review period, just like there is for the environmental impact report?
All staff reports, all staff recommendations are all available for public review.
No, the question is about the period of time available to the public. Because we have this recirculated draft EIR available since March 21st.
Okay.
But the MSR is available yet. Right. Not in
the MSR is available. It's been available for 2 years. I can't help you. But the staff recommendations, as they come forward, will be available. But we always try to get things out as early as possible.
So what's the difference between staff recommendations and the MSR and the executive officer's report?
The executive officer's report, and we're going to move on to the CEQA discussion. But just to be clear, the executive officer report, the idea there is to, if you will, synthesize and bring the information from the environmental impact report, to bring the information from the service review, to bring the information from the community input and other stakeholders, put that into the staff report that then formulates the recommendations that the commission can consider.
So MSR is complete. It is or it isn't. This is an all or nothing. Yes or no is the answer. It sounds like it's not. So
I would be clear that it's a draft MSR. And nothing's complete until our commission says it's complete. The public process requires that all final decisions are made by our commission on this. So anything, if you'd be happy, if you want to contact our, we do have a contact button that you can do so anonymously. commissionclerk@saclapco.org. If you'd like to get on our mailing list, that sort of thing will keep you going. But I do want to respect people's time at 7:30, 6:30 now. If you have one more question, we can move to the CEQA presentation.
This is related to the first part of the SOI after the
that is correct.
And one of the documents that's on your website, I read that the city was quoted. The city doesn't keep an accounting of their vacant land or underutilized land. So then if you consider growth plans and development patterns, and the city itself isn't doing that, then how quickly are the lands becoming stuff, and how they justify the need to expand?
Those are the questions that we as staff ask. And it's good that you're providing that kind of shared interest. Those are not answers that we have, but there are sources that we seek information from the city, we seek information from regional entities such as the Sacramento Area Council of Governments, so the U.S. Census, there's resources available.
I'm asking that question, and as a resident of Elk Grove, I want an answer, so when will I receive an answer to that question?
You'll receive the answer when we go forward and we develop the analysis.
Okay, we're not going to get through to the number one of listening sessions in 2009 and the follow-up meetings in 2010. As residents, we have not received those responses. We've received a lot of documents.
In fairness, those were conducted by the city of Elk Grove. If you have issues with that process, please take them over there. Don't give the people time tonight for a lack of workshop. It must be fair and respectful to people's time.
I think she is too. It's a fair question. You didn't answer. Just like you didn't answer my question.
Wait.
You know, on the MSR, I mean, it's a draft. Okay, so what's the period of review? And she wants to know.
Okay.
Don't just butt up if and whatever. Okay, don't hop through this. All right? This is a public meeting.
It's a public workshop.
It's a public workshop.
We're trying to find some answers.
We have a time to get issues. We have this room for a set amount of time, sir. And I'm glad you have issues and we want to hear more from your issues, but we also want to respect the other people.
This meeting wouldn't be held if it weren't for Len Weed's attendance at Lafayette.
A question over here.
I'd like to request that two things. That the staff report respond very carefully to the vacant land and the demand analysis, and to question the assumptions that were made in the city's analysis of demand, supply and demand, and that you make that staff report or that analysis available earlier than just prior to the first public hearing, so that we have a chance to digest that, because that's a real critical part of this whole decision process. And if it's part of the staff report comes out a week before the first hearing, that's not enough time.
Okay. That's a fair comment. Okay, thank you for your patience. We'd like to move to the secret portion of the agenda.
Can we record that?
Switch PowerPoint, brief overview.
Yeah, I've had it.
You give us your
original comments. We greatly appreciate it.
I'm Chris Meyer. I'm going to provide the presentation as a consultant that helped prepare the draft EIR. Please let me know if you can't hear me. And to address the concern of me versus zoning, I don't want people to feel pressured to provide needs. But when you take comments on environmental topics, we have to make sure that we address those as we go forward in a final EIR of a document. So, if you want to be able to see, okay, that was my comment, that was, specifically addressed, it's a little bit easier, but don't feel like you have to provide it.
Are you recording this?
Unfortunately, no.
Then how do you know what the comments are?
Verbal comments, we have a note taker for verbal comments, and then we're going to take all written comments, and then there's going to be multiple other opportunities of in-person meetings. As Don said, you can send him an email. We received, I can't remember, 10, 15 emails or so?
Yes.
Yeah, so, the media, the form of the comments doesn't have different ways. All the comments are given the same amount of weight and have to be addressed in the final document. So, I'm going to go over the recently draft environmental impact report as we go forward. It's a very brief presentation. As Donna said, it's available in hard copy here. I don't believe we have a checkout or anything. But it's also available at two local public libraries, City Hall, online. And if you really, really want a hard copy, I think you figured out how much it is to print to a version if you want to. So the presentation today, for just a general overview of the understanding, the milestones today, overview of the highlights and the next steps. So the very, very first is not on the presentation, but I'd like to go over what the scope of CEQA is. CEQA is the California Environmental Quality Act, and it looks at environmental impacts. So the scope of CEQA does not include looking at the merits or the need of a project, nor does it look at tangential impacts or social impacts, except as they may relate to potential environmental impacts. So when we go forward with the CEQA document, we say, what are the potential environmental impacts that are reasonable and foreseeable for a particular project? And that's a direct impact, so you're gonna build a project, disturb the ground, have direct impacts, and you also have indirect impacts. What may it do to transportation? What might it do to air quality? And that whole sort of thing. So that's just a broad overview of what the scope of CEQA entails. This particular project, as Don covered, is a sphere of influence amendment. It would move the SOI area. Currently, the SOI is coterminous with the city, and this would extend it out, as said, about 7,800 acres. As covered already, it's mostly agricultural area. There's a couple, there's housing out there, a little bit of development, but primarily agricultural. And those are the bounds. We'll see updated a bit on.
Can you speak to the audience, please?
Oh, sorry. So we'll see the updated exhibit. The difference between the updated exhibit and the one that Don had earlier is the SOI area was moved back out of the 100-year FEMA floodplain with some trigger. So as you can see here, you see on that right line, the, it was moved back out of the floodplain. So this exhibit, as many, many others, are available in the ground game zone.
So this is current, that one was current?
This is the current one, yes. So the milestones, the history to date for the CEQA portion of this project, which is only going to cover in our work on the CEQA portion, is the notice of preparation was issued quite some time ago, back in 2010, that was stating that EIR was going to be prepared, the environmental areas that are going to be looked at that time. They took comments on the NOP to help focus the review and the environmental impact analysis in the EIR. As Don stated, in the EIR was released in 2011. It was circulated for the 45-day review period, and then there was actually an extension on top of that that LAFCO provided to help people get their comments in. There was a lot of concerns over specific topic areas of biology, hydrology, swings and rocks, so forth. At that point, LAFCO had a decision to make about how they wanted to progress. As Don said, they decided to recirculate the entire draft EIR. To help you understand the paths they could take. At that point, you can go full with a final EIR, which is like, okay, EIR, we address everyone's comments, this is just errata, so forth. You can do a recirculated, partial recirculation, which is particular areas that you feel is a substantial revision, and so forth. Or you can recirculate the entire document and open all areas back up to public comments and review and input. So we went with the recirculated draft EIR. As said, it's available as of March 1st. It has a 60-day review period, which is longer than the state mandated 45-day review period. And as we did, comments that come in, as they pertain to environmental impacts, must be accounted for, and we have to respond either through addressing future concerns or possible actions is amending, revising, modification of the EIR of mitigation measures within it. So this is a little overview of the contents of the EIR. As Don stated earlier, the city is not a full-service city. So you can see there the services in the SOA area and what's actually provided by the non-city entity. So within the EIR, how CEQA looks at potential impacts is it looks at an impact area, a specific criteria, and it says, is there a reasonable foreseeable impact to this particular area? Because there is no land use plan actually proposed with this, and as Paul stated, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be, but there's a potential for future planning and activities. Since this is just the modification of the sphere of influence, we have to come up with a series of assumptions to be able to determine what are reasonably foreseeable potential environmental impacts to this particular project. And as such, in the draft EIR, in the project description, it lays out those assumptions of how much residential, how much commercial, and so forth, are we assuming would eventually be built out. And as Don said, development is not the fact that after this, there's an annexation process and a whole series of actions. But we said this is the first step in a series of actions, so what could occur out in the future. And so it looked at a whole bunch of impact areas, and the impact of the broad categories that were determined to be less than significant with mitigation, which means they were maybe potentially significant, or maybe they were less than significant out of that, but then with mitigation, they're determined to be less than significant. Those are the cultural, geo, greenhouse gases, hydrology, population, housing. And then the EIR identifies within an impact analysis and then also within summaries, what are the impact areas that have been determined to have significant unavoidable impacts that could occur as a result of the project. Within this table, as you see, the general area within each one is not just like aesthetics significant impact. It's actually aesthetics has multiple criteria that are caused. The under mitigation, the number is the number of unique mitigation measures within that section. So within aesthetics, there are two mitigation measures identified within that section. And it's determined that even with incorporation of mitigation, it's potentially significant. Not a significant So you see for aesthetics, as an example, there is a mitigation measure that covers tree protection, and if tree protection is not available or not feasible, it has a series of actions that could occur. Also, performance and design guidelines for player. So the actual detailed mitigation measures, if you want to review them, are within the effects sections themselves, but also the EIR has a executive summary that compiles them all together if you want to do a quick overview, if you want to go target straight to like the biomitigation measures, you can look at that as well. Because of the brevity of the presentation, I'm not going to go through all the mitigation measures. So as you see, managed planning, transportation, traffic. The unique one within this area is for the impact generally of noise. There was no feasible mitigation measure to incorporate in order to reduce the impact. So that one is no feasible mitigation. The EIR is also required to look at potential alternatives to the project. Within CEQA, you're not required to look at all possible alternatives. You are expected to look at reasonable alternatives to the project, middle out which ones still meet the project objectives, and so forth. So within the EIR, we have required no project alternative. What would happen, you know, to the land, to the environment, if there was no project? You also look at an alternate boundary alternative, which is a completely different area up to the north. If you're familiar with the vineyard, the specific plan, we have an exhibit in there as well, next slide or two. It's a substantially larger area. I believe the is the addition 10,740 about acres, and more pieces of saline. Oh. We have also the enhanced regional alternative. The enhanced regional alternative is located within the footprint of the proposed project, but it's scaled back to the SACOG's blueprint preferred alternative, a preferred scenario. And then it also includes an area off on the east portion that is within the city's urban service boundary. So that one, sorry about that number right there, that's one portion of the enhanced regional alternative. The actual whole amount is 4,350 acres. So, that's correct with me. So this exhibit shows the location of the alternate boundary alternative. It's the red up there in relation to where the proposed project is. So as you see up.
I'm sorry, what is that?
That's the vineyard.
This is the alternative to the alternate boundary alternative. So the alternate boundary alternative is that whole red.
That's the 10,000 acre.
10,000.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that would be part of the square influence?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is instead of the project as proposed, this alternative is a totally different location and bounds.
That's not even contiguous. That's family.
Yes. Vineyard. North Vineyard Station specific plan, Vineyard Screens, comprehensive plan, and then an additional area. That would be instead of it.
Okay. That's how many
acres? That is just over 10,000.
What is the southern boundary of that?
Oh, the road there?
Yeah, the
Calvine.
That's the same belt road immediately south. And this is the unincorporated plant. There are the county stuff like that.
Aren't those all very small parcels?
What was that?
Small parcels.
No. Hasn't been
certified. To be clear, the idea of having alternatives in this sphere of influence is so you can have a point of comparison. If the project were to go in this direction, these would be the types of impacts. If the project were to go in the direction is proposed, these are the types of impacts. So thus the decision makers understand there are different, literally, alternatives.
Yeah. Within the alternative section, it does that comparison on the bottom level. What does it do for aesthetics versus air quality versus agriculture In some instances, it might be the same level of impact. In some instances, it may be a more severe or a reduced level of impact. So that, that comparison is going to be So that's the alternate boundary. This one is the enhanced regional alternative. The enhanced regional alternative is the captured, the red portion, and the outline of the project as proposed is the black bounds. So you can see that it's a reduced footprint, but within the existing proposal.
And that's the one on your PowerPoint that is inaccurate. It's not 27, it's 23.
Yeah.
This is the SACOG.
This one, 27 is just the southern part, and with the addition of the portion up to the.
This is the SACOG the SACOG.
The blueprint preferred scenario.
Yes.
Is that lower portion?
Right.
To be clear, a sphere of influence. Nobody goes out and surveys it. These aren't exact lines on a map. SACOG, when they did the blueprint, SACOG when they did the Metropolitan Transportation Plan and their sustainable community. None of this, these are not exact lines, but these are points of reference. If you will, we try to find section lines or street lines so people can follow them. But you have to understand this doesn't fit like a glove with any adopted plans.
Okay. Other questions on this exhibit?
No. Well, yeah, I have one. How does this compare with the 8,000? Acre, LAFCO, the ones that are under consideration with LAFCO right now. What are the differences other than the size? I mean, I see that there's a difference in size.
As we've raised the questions, and they're fair questions, those are the same questions that staff's looking into. To get the environmental analysis. Within the document, there is comparisons of what happens with this alternative versus that alternative versus the project versus no project. That's the same kind of all. Alternative is kind of the same kind of analysis that will be coming forward in the step.
We did the AR.
We can show you the results. And there's a copy of the EIR which shows these exhibits. It's getting passed around.
Oh, it's getting passed around? I don't know how to stop here. Okay.
If you mind passing.
Yeah, feel free to look at our copy. And
there's another one at the back.
And then the two libraries,
Elk Grove City Hall and Sacramento Lateral Offices all have marked up.
They all have marked up, so feel free to browse it as well. And then if you want one of your own, figure out the printing cost for this one. The library one, was it Franklin?
There's two libraries, one on also Boulevard, the lady one in the Franklin Library.
Yeah, the notice of availability has that. Actually, I have a notice of availability. So the next step. From here, we're taking public comments in written form, email, verbal, the comment cards, anybody that you want to get comments to us. We look at those as they pertain to environmental impacts. Questions on financial analysis that doesn't affect environmental and so forth will not be addressed within future CEQA documents.
Can you put some very rough timelines on the last three bullets?
Oh, I don't actually have the timeline with me. Well, we can provide that.
Yeah. That's a good transition. Real quickly, to find out who's loose ends. The libraries are at 10555 Franklin High Road, Franklin Community Library, and 8900 Elk Grove Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's also an HR copy in the back cover. There's a disk if you want to get technology information with a copy of it yourself. You can download it from our website. But just to touch on next steps real quickly, to stay focused on, if you will, homework for this group, give us comments tonight, give us comments next Wednesday in front of our commission. We'd like to the close, and I should have mentioned this earlier, state law recommends 45 days to circulate an environmental document, not to exceed 60 days. Our commission has taken the full 60 days to maximize the opportunity for public review and comment. That 60th day closes on May 21 at 4 p.m. So those are the steps from the CEQA standpoint. From the project standpoint, with respect to them joining together, the municipal service review, the CEQA, the staff analysis, and move into a hearing situation with, before the commission, I believe September, October, something like that.
Question about CEQA review. Does the EIR contain a section that describes any conflicts between the application and the proposal and existing policies?
Is this a comment on the EIR?
It's a question of her whether the EIR contains a section identifying conflicts.
There is the land use and planning section that reviews both county and city general plan policies. So that is within there. There's also a review of potential conflicts with an adopted habitat conservation plan, but if you have a South Sacramento habitat conservation plan, it's not adopted. Seems to be different there. Other sections within there that address policies.
What about the conflicts with lack of policies?
That is also. That's also in the land use and planning and any other section?
To the policy of the land use
plan
services, there's also a discussion of services. And I want to be fair to the process again. The discussion tonight is to give the public a chance to give us, if that's your comment on the EIR, thank you.
Yeah.
Can we have more comments on the EIR?
And if you have specific questions,
you
have specific questions about the location or the components, feel free to, and we'll find the particular page or whatever passage to help the reviewer. Yes?
So did I understand you to ask the question specifically on the EIR because I do have one?
Well, yes. I don't want to be clear. It's not necessarily questions. We want to hear your thoughts. And that's why we really stress the fairness of the process. You might want to write them down and leave it for us so that there's no misunderstanding of what we're going to have.
That's not going to happen.
Are you have a question on the EIR?
Yes, I actually did. In prefacing this comment, we all understand what a huge economic engine the agricultural area is to Sacramento, the area of the SOI. And yet, somehow we want to put development in there and yet have agriculture still survive at that level, so it's still that economic engine. And it, specifically with regard to impact AG-3, pages 33.2, 18 through 21, where factor 5 talks about the interface of ag and rural land use areas. This speaks to the commonly associated farming issues, which we all think about, noise, odor, tractor traffic on the roads, but it really failed to address some real health issues that involve farming, such as dust, pesticide use, pesticide contamination of the water supply. And I understand the right to farm really can cover a lot of this, or it's used to cover a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think if you really want successful farming and successful development, residential development, you have to address this openly so that everybody understands how this is all going to work, how you're going to put urban people that have an expectation of a certain lifestyle into the toxic soup of dust, pollution, pesticides, farm noise, laborers, all of these things which they perhaps might not buy into. And I don't think you have appropriately addressed that in this section. In addition, I really am surprised that nothing about the amendment to the Sacramento County Zoning Code, Ag Amendment of November 2011, which is some time ago, which is promoting ag tourism, which includes, and I'm just kind of going off the cuff, tourism, farm stays, farm stands, unlimited signage, wineries with tasting rooms, unlimited events at all times of the year, wine producing and bottling plants, farm worker housing, all in this area, that you are somehow going to put happy campers, happy little urban livers in there, and yet you don't disclose any of it. How is that all going to work, where you can have successful agritourism, where farmers get to do what they want to do, their lifestyle, and city people get to do what they want to do? That's my comment. That needs to be addressed. Thank you.
And
my name is Susanna Petchy.
In the effort people are putting into this, we really want to stress your comments. Anything you haven't already, you brought with you.
I will put it right.
That way we can respond to you and get as much feedback as soon as possible.
Yeah. And just so you know, we absolutely appreciate these comments.
Right.
To make sure that this is a whole thing.
Is there a reason that has not been addressed?
Specifically to the
it is zoning.
Okay. Well, we're gonna look at it.
Yeah, we're not gonna get into give a take of America.
This is why we're here. Is that?
And that's why I wanted to say it, so you can hear what
Excuse me, but I'd like to clarify that this document is a draft. We have done our best. My consultant's done his best to. There's a lot of topics, a lot of different areas and avenues you can go. But obviously, we're not 1,000 minds. So what the process is to do is for you people to read the document, articulate your concerns and questions in hopefully written form back to us, so that when we prepare the final EIR, you can respond to these questions. And that's what the whole point tonight is. We can't answer the questions. We're not going to answer the questions tonight. We want the questions so that we can respond through this process. And I'd just like to kind of really articulate, we'll go back a little bit, if you forgive me, about LAFCO. I believe we're a transparent organization. I believe my commission is very deliberative in the processes. And we will try to give more than adequate time with all of our documents for public review prior to public hearings. Sometimes it's tight. We're under tight time frames. We're under pressure. But we'll do our best to give you as much time to review the MSR, the executive officer's report, and the final EIR and the comments that responses to those comments. Just one example, when we did the City of Folsom Sweet River influence back in 2000, it took several public hearings once all those documents were prepared. So I don't want you to think that this is going to be rushed through the commission. It's a sort of a iterative process. We have a hearing, questions come up. If we don't have the answers, then typically we'll adjourn and go out and do some more research, come back with our response. So it's a relatively long process when we get to the meeting, but here on stage.
Can I ask you, Chris, what it feels like for a newcomer? It feels like you're wanting to adopt a new child, but you don't get to talk about the parents. And the parents are the city voters. And so what I'm wondering is if a commissioner totally comfortable with the UI thinks it's a great idea, has talked to the climate journalists already, and they're happy, the developers want to come in and contribute to the community, but they feel like the government or the town of Elk Grove is not doing a good job when you look back at the community. Would that be a reason to vote against this?
No.
I want to be white, I want to be fair, I want to be clear. We're not here to debate the merits of the project. We're here to use y'all's time and your community to let you talk about the environmental impact report, the threat, the circulating threat, the environmental impact report. Our commission, we as staff are available at your convenience. Feel free to come in and talk, or you come down and talk to you about the there's no answer for that question this evening.
And before the next comment, I just want to briefly state what is included in a final EIR, so you understand what that process entails. For the final EIR, we take all comments that we receive, verbal, written, and we address those. We respond back to them. Some of that is providing clarification to where the writer is and where something is located. Sometimes that will include modifications to the draft EIR, either portions of the analysis, clarification, modification of mitigation measures, and the final EIR is composed of those comments, the response to comments, where we actually go point by point to each person or each entity that comments, and then the errata, what are the modifications to the draft EIR as part of the process. So that's what a final EIR is composed of. And I thought I had another point that I forgot was.
Don, is there a possibility that some of the questions that we have as residents of Elk Grove aren't directly about the EIR or about the process, about some of the concerns that we have, and it looks like they're willing to take resident input, and you yourself said there's a lot of traffic driving down, there's more of us than of you. Is there a potential to set up another meeting, possibly at City Hall, when we could use the room for free, that it would offer an opportunity to residents of this area to just have some discussion about this so that you could hear what
I think we can pose those questions, and you guys that. The commission's responded to that question by asking us to come down on the CEQA process. Let me be clear also, the Consumers Community Services District is gracious enough to not charge us for this room, but we also have to respect their hosting us, and that's why we have a time frame. Not a time frame we have to get out of here. There's no secret room by the district. So let's think about that, but let's stay focused if we can on using the time tonight for what we request and interact with the CEQA.
I was going to partly answer your question. I believe next Wednesday is going to be a meeting of the LAFCO Commission, and will this be on this agenda also?
Yes. This I mentioned earlier, perhaps you got here a little late, that this same topic will be on May 1, 5:30 p.m., separate board chambers, 700 And this will be on the agenda. Your input is welcome at that time. Again, but this is a convenience as we built the public testimony. The secret documents are pretty big part of the project. We want to make sure that as many folks were given a convenient opportunity to speak to that. And it's really unfortunate. We don't like it sidetracked and waste this time. It's taking some time to arrange this. We really want to get the most out of it from that.
However, if you want the commissioners to hear your words in person, verbatim, I would strongly suggest showing up at the county administration building next Wednesday, and you'll be heard by the people who did make the decision. That's important to be there for that.
I have a couple of comments on the EIR specific to air quality and traffic circulation. In the air quality section, the report shows that there's an existing non-attainment level for the federal standards for the EPA, non-attainment for ozone and particulates, the fine particulates and the very fine particulates, usually considered soot. The only way that, and it's noted in here, and I'm just saying this because I'm very concerned about this project or any other project that is engaged in terms of air quality, because there's so much degradation of the air quality that's going on, and we have these non-attainment issues, and which means that we're not going to get money to SACOG. SACOG is very concerned about this. And if you approve this sphere of influence, and then there's an annexation, and it goes against what SACOG has recommended in its blueprint, then we're going to have non-attainment. However, the SACOG's Metropolitan Transportation Plan and its Sustainable Communities Plan does meet some of the attainment standards for ozone and particulates. So, but I don't know that necessarily allows for the preferred SACOG, the SACOG preference, that hatch red area that we saw. I'm not sure that it really means that's going to be okay to develop. And then in terms of traffic circulation, existing levels of service right now are at levels D and F. That's existing. And that's on I-5 and Highway 99 and also Grove Boulevard. And the sphere of influence degrades those levels of service. So I just want to point that out on Mr. Brundage and the other staff here that this is a real concern, that we've had this problem. In the 20 years that I've lived here in Elk Grove, it's always been a problem with traffic, and now we're seeing faster traffic, more dangerous traffic. We're seeing more pedestrian issues with pedestrian access and also with injuries. I'm concerned, and I'll be further submitting further written information testimony before the end, before the expiration of this period, comment period on the project alternatives.